You're about to listen to our Living Within podcast with Lupe Luna and Tamara Montana.
This is part two of the Girl Princess Queen series, where we dive in on becoming a benevolent queen.
And if you haven't listened to part one, we explain the stages of a girl and a princess. So make sure you listen to that first. Now, for part two. Our next stage.
Beautiful. The evil queen. Mm-hmm. Lupe, give us what an evil queen is, girlfriend.
Oh, the evil queen is like maleficent. Right? She's very cruel. She's vengeful. Yes. Envious. Controlling. Greedy. And possessive.
Now, Lupe and I had a real hard time coming up with any examples of ourselves when it came to this.
It's true. We're like, we're never evil.
What? Who's that?
So, Tamara, share your evil queen experience.
My, so we had to dig deep. Okay, so one of the things that I have a hard time, you know, actually owning, which wasn't too hard. I was actually at a landmark workshop when I said, you know, I experience other people as being cruel, other people as being vengeful. Other people just forcing me in like a square peg in a round hole. You got to be this. You got to be the Stepford wife. You got to grow up. You got to have manners. You got to behave yourself. Mm-hmm. You got to be respectful. You got to be reverent, which there's a big part of me that is very irreverent. Like I'm the irreverent reverend. Right? So, you know, to have to, you know, be... Oh, I had to go to cotillion. I had to learn how to dance right. I had to learn how to, you know, the silverware, the fork, the spoon, and how to eat and what goes on which side. I mean, all this can be wonderful, you know, when called to have dinner with the queen, right, in London, right? So all those things are important, but to just put all these huge expectations, I just thought it was just so cruel that I just couldn't break out. Mm-hmm. I couldn't just be myself. Mm-hmm. So I was just very angry. So the cruel part of me would literally turn my back to anybody that was putting me down, saying I had to be a certain way, or just calling me names and telling me how to be and how to behave. And there was a part of me that was as controlling on the other end with folding my arms and turning my back on them. So I literally matched their
energy.
Yeah, their energy. And I just felt myself be maleficent.
Yes. Off with their head.
Off with their head. You know, ooh, give me my dark wings and give me my horns, because I was not going to be controlled, but I was going to be controlling. Mm-hmm. So there I was. Mm-hmm. No better.
Right.
No better.
Right.
Lupe, tell me about your maleficent.
My maleficent story is I recently bought a house. Mm-hmm. Well, my husband and I recently bought a house. That's going to be 2 years this year. Very exciting. But the not so exciting part is it's my kingdom. Right. So when you have your kingdom, you're a queen. And I was being an evil queen because I can be very controlling sometimes. And I admit it to where I try to stop myself being controlling. But there's times where you just react on emotion at the moment. Yeah. And for me, it's whenever my husband cleans, it's not the right way, right? It's perfect what he's doing, but it's not up to my standards. So I can be very controlled, like, you're not doing that right. No, 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 not this way. And with that, it's like I feel very bad, and I have to really just kind of take a step back, just hear myself sound so evil. I can't even believe what's coming out of my mouth.
I can't believe that.
But that would be my... You know, because it's very hard to just say, like, no, we're evil. But at any given point, you know, when our emotions do get the best of us, we do react. And it's not always the best.
Right.
But there's always a small part of us that can be just a little bit controlling or a little bit possessive on how things should be done.
Right. And you know what, Lupe? You're reminding me of another thing that my husband loves to point out with me whenever we get locked up in a conversation and he just drilling me in, and he says, you just become so sarcastic. And I really, really do. And I would say that that's not the most attractive
right.
part. But it's almost like I feel so backed in a corner that I want to, you know, at least come out with something that says, you know, leave me alone in a way mm-hmm. that I'm going to put you down mm-hmm. and say, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and just like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, and just make fun back
mm-hmm.
just to just try to get some kind of space of let's move through this. And this
right.
is his encouragement, right? He wants to move through stuff too.
Right.
So as water seeks its own level, so do self-esteems in mm-hmm. marriage. So mm-hmm. it's not like he's better or I'm better
right.
or your husband's better or you're better. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to find our space. It's mm-hmm. trying to find our equalization in that water,
mm-hmm.
trying to meet the other but matching the ugliness,
right?
Which can just be, ugh. And certainly you wouldn't want anybody peeking in going, oh, yeah, so your marriage is good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You're going, yes, it is.
And how's your house looking?
And how's your house?
Is it clean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and because here it is, like, what? Who are you, a life coach?
Right.
My husband's a life. And who are you, the therapist?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, look at you go.
Right.
Anybody could peek in and go, mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a mess in all of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So I own it.
That's it. It's the best. That's what brings to our next point.
Right. Our very next point. Lupe, tell us about the benevolent queen.
Mm.
Right? Because that's the flip side of the same coin.
Right. So now the benevolent queen is someone who's very compassionate, who's confident, composed, humble, honest, but deliberate. Right? They have their kingdom as well. And like you have the choice to be evil or you have the choice to be kind and compassionate towards the people in your kingdom.
Yes.
So it's all the relationships you have in your life.
Right. So tell me, because I've witnessed so many experiences with you being that benevolent queen. Mm. Tell me about an example of you being that.
I recently had a very interesting situation, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened later last year. My parents had a tenant living in one of their properties. Now, my parents, you know, they're very old school as far as how they conduct their business. It's usually just by a handshake, right? Just like how most other generations are. You just have that trusting in that person that they're not going to take advantage of you.
Right.
These last tenants that my parents had were taking advantage to the fullest. To the fullest, to where my parents were almost backed up. They weren't sure what to do. So I stepped up. I said, you know what? Let me take over. Let me handle this. Because I know there's a lot of emotions going on with my parents, with anger that they were beginning to accumulate based on what these tenants were doing. I said, look, I'm coming in with fresh eyes. Let me be compassionate towards these tenants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I did. They were saying a lot of lies. But instead of saying, oh, yeah, well, what about I said, you know what? Okay, I hear you. You know, I'm sorry for what you're going through. But, you know, stuff needs to be done and we need you to move out. Right? It's like, this is something that you agreed to. You mentioned you don't want to be here anymore. I didn't say, oh, we don't want them to be there anymore. But
right.
But I said, you know, you mentioned you don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, take you and your cockroaches and
exactly.
cats and get out of here.
So I was being compassionate and just kind of
yeah,
letting them not feel small.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were so used to always being looked at a certain way, feeling like they weren't enough. And I didn't want to give that to them.
Right.
Because I knew what they needed. They needed to feel heard. They needed to feel like they were being understood for their situation. So, and I did that for them. I said, look, I'll help you out any way possible if we just come to an agreement that by the end of this month, you will move out with no issues towards the city, towards anything. Let's just make this a peaceful transition.
Yeah.
And it took some time, and I was just very patient. I was very patient. I was able to keep my composure. And I did help the lady out. I helped her with some of her cats. I even delivered them to her.
Right.
So really, like, if I was being nasty, I would have been, nope, you figure it out. But I said, no, look, it's not working out for us here. Mm-hmm. You want to be somewhere else, and we need to get this place back to its original state because right. it was very, very, very damaged.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my example for being a benevolent queen, and I'm just so proud of myself.
I was so proud of you, too. I mean, I have to say, just listening and watching Lupe handle herself in a way where she didn't have to react, but what you did, Lupe, was respond.
Mm-hmm.
You responded with kindness. You had compassion. You know, it's all of those things that we hope to develop inside of us, and because of that, they responded in a way that you didn't have to go down super long roads of legal stuff and battles mm-hmm. and courts and things like that. And I think that that's true for all of us that, you know, you hear about doctors who are sued the most mm-hmm. and they're the ones who do not have the bedside manner. Mm-hmm. They don't have that caring compassion mm-hmm. for their patient. And so they tend to be sued a lot mm-hmm. that don't have that. And what they found out, too, was that the ones that had the bedside manner, that actually cared about their patients, they got a chance to know their grandkids' names and what they were into and what mattered to them. Mm-hmm. And they cared deeply for their patient. Even if they did make a mistake, it wasn't a mistake that required legal action.
Right.
So to me, that's like a benevolent king,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's what my husband, Greg, he's done a program here on the boy, the prince, and the king. And I love when he talks about the king. And I love when it brings us to the forefront here where Lupe and I are talking about the queen, because I think that there's something very spiritual mm-hmm. that comes into play with queens who come into their own. It's almost like you've gone through all the different tangents, the side paths through the woods that we've made mistakes on, we've tripped on, we've had scary things happen to us. And then somehow the queen finds within herself God within, the light within, the tapestry of her life, that even if there is a hole that is torn inside of it, she allows for that light to shine through. And she's been able to take the broken pieces in her life and create a mosaic to where there is literally color that streams through her presence and being with other people. And with this compassion, there's something that rises up to replace her. And not only replace all of her, just the ego side of her mm-hmm. that has merged with God in a way that says, I see you mm-hmm. and who you are matters to me. And there is a part of me that as I studied to become a psychotherapist, or whether we go out with interior design jobs, or whether it is we've been a part of a workshop, my husband and I lead these workshops that are pretty amazing, and we do some ministry that is pretty amazing, is one of the things that we do is just surrender to what is. Mm-hmm. When we surrender to what is, there's a confidence that comes up inside. And as I studied to even be a therapist for other people, what I learned to do was really listen and really create a space where myself and my husband, or myself and another person, or when Lupe and I are out on a job, we create this space for whatever is going on that individual or that couple or that family can literally unfold and be themselves mm-hmm. because we've given ourselves permission mm-hmm. to be ourselves. Mm-hmm. There's something really authentic with the queen who has a humility, right? The evil queen is off with their head. Right? But the benevolent queen says, we all matter. Mm-hmm. We all matter. And if I win, that's only one part of joy. But if you win and I win, we all experience the joy. And with a benevolent queen, I think what happens is that our sorrows can be divided and our joys can be doubled
mm-hmm.
with a benevolent queen ruling in her little empire, whatever mm-hmm. that is, whatever your world is. Imagine a queen having a sphere of love that not only encompasses and envelops her, mm-hmm. right? That Lupi and I were just watching this amazing video today about really truly being able to love ourselves mm-hmm. allows us to love other people. Mm-hmm. So imagine inside of your sphere of love as a queen, people can feel that from 30 feet away. Mm-hmm. From 30 feet away, there's an energy. And I'll just say, Lupi and I were asked to be judges at a school where it's a fashion design. And these students have put together these amazing, beautiful art designs out of recycled things.
So recycled materials.
Recycled materials. And one of the things that Lupi and I got a chance to do was just be amazed and awed mm-hmm. by their creativity. Mm-hmm. And here we could sense that they were nervous. Mm-hmm. And yet Lupi and I could dispel that nervousness in a heartbeat by extending our love. Mm-hmm. And we did that just energetically mm-hmm. and just praising them and being an encouragement by clapping and saying, "Welcome to ROC's talent show," you know, and clapping for them and having them shine with their project and whatever mm-hmm. that was, and then being able to give out awards. And I think that, you know, Lupe and I could even afterwards, you know, as they had comments for us, we could humble ourselves mm-hmm. and say, you know, we were there. Mm-hmm. Lupe was literally physically there back in 2010.
Yes, not that long ago.
Right. So, Lupi, just say a little bit about your experience of us today, being able to be queens at a place where kids were still nervous about becoming.
Well, I feel like we were just truly being examples, right? Because whenever I was in school, I was terrified to give presentations. I mean, terrified. I would rather take an F or a minus or whatever to just not present.
Right.
And a lot of these students, I was just so impressed, right? Like, yes, they were nervous, but yet you couldn't really tell too much that they were nervous. Or they, you know, they presented so well, some of them. I thought, wow, this is incredible.
Right.
And yes, they were nervous, but after they met us, it just dropped.
Right.
It was like this veil, right. And it just completely dropped. To where they're laughing, and we said, "Hey, let's take our picture."
Right.
Okay. Just very excited. When we were giving out the medals, before we gave out the medals, Tamara gave this beautiful, inspirational little speech that just letting them know, "Hey, no matter what happens today, everybody's a winner."
Absolutely. Right?
And I was looking at everybody's faces as she's speaking. And some of the students who just don't feel confident in themselves, right? Like they felt, oh, well, for sure I'm not going to win.
Right.
Or, wow, like this is probably going to be terrible. Their faces lit up, mm-hmm. right? Just because we're able to say, look, this is amazing. Just the fact that you showed up and did something is amazing.
Right.
Right. And that's for anybody, right? If you just sit in your butt not doing anything, people can't see what talent you have because every single person has a beautiful talent.
Yes.
Whether it's numbers,
right?
When people might think that numbers are nothing, but I'm not that good at numbers. You know, it's like, so someone who has that mind for numbers has an incredible talent, as well as someone who can sing, someone who can design, someone who can build a house is just incredible.
Yes.
So just really being able to honor every single person for their talent and what they're able to bring to the table, not what the person next to them can bring, but what can they bring?
Oh, beautiful. Mm-hmm. That was so powerful, Lupi. Thank you for being a part of that with me. Because as a queen in a position of what appearingly is a little more power, a little more influence, yet we're all the same little girl on the inside. Mm-hmm. And that when you do have that opportunity with power to be able to use your kindness to uplift someone versus your criticism to tear someone else down. I mean, how neat to be able to offer someone encouragement in their strengths versus
their weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. That's a definition of true kindness, is being able to do that. And to be able to say, guys, just by virtue of the fact that you showed up, we're having a parade for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're ecstatic. And not everybody can be the top winner. But you know that in your heart, you're mm-hmm. a winner because you showed up here.
Mm-hmm.
And we are proud of every single one of you.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of you. And it was hard for us to differentiate, a gold, silver, and bronze award. However, you leave here today knowing that you got the best award.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because you got to be you here today.
You know, my favorite part, too, was seeing some of the groups that were completely shocked when they won.
Right.
I mean, just absolutely shocked. It's like they didn't have that confidence in themselves.
Right.
But whenever they received that medal, they were just so elated and so grateful. And we said, hey, you know, give a couple of words while you're up there. And they did.
Yes.
You know, they
and
just
that
shared.
Was unusual, right?
Right.
Because last year when we did this, they got their award and they were like, thank you. And they sat down.
Mm-hmm.
And we encouraged them, right, Loop?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just say a few words. What was it like for you going through this experience?
Mm-hmm.
So a true queen doesn't have to take the entire limelight.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to keep saying, look at me, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a true queen could know her value and her worth is sufficient to have that internally.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need those accolades or mm-hmm. even an Olympic medal or award to put around them to know that they are truly a child of God
mm-hmm.
who is grown up in understanding that what you do to another, you do to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to just a beautiful space of queendom, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I feel that when I am humbled before my God, when I am humbled in a friendship with God, because I've gone to my Father, Mother, God, and said, help me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you created me. And in ashes to ashes, dust to dust, when I leave this costume of a body, I will return to you.
Mm-hmm.
So death isn't the opposite of life because life is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Birth is the opposite of death.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'll take a moment to just go around and look at tombstones, we've got the birth date and we've got the death date.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the little dash that's in between. Who do we choose to be?
Mm-hmm.
When we face those forks in the road, I think we're reminded when we have like an analogy of being either a bratty girl or sweet girl, a nasty princess, a gracious princess, an evil queen or a benevolent queen, know that at every given juncture in life, when we take those side roads of being nasty, bratty, or evil, that we can always course correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's a beautiful opportunity to just like boomerang back to center and know that at any given moment or choice, we can be kind, we can be gracious, we can be benevolent. And, you know, I have to say how blessed I am to have you, Lupe, in my
mm-hmm.
life. Because to me, you are not only all those things, but you are primarily benevolent, gracious,
mm-hmm.
and dear, you know, in my life. And I couldn't be more grateful because I think that God in his gracious mercy will give us those people in our lives that will be a mirror,
mm-hmm.
that will remind us of our worth, that will remind us that I see you and I get you and you matter to me. And Luby, I couldn't be more grateful to God for our friendship.
Yeah.
For what God has blessed us with, being able to not only be friends, but to be able to work together
mm-hmm.
and to be able to spend more hours of the day than we do even our own family,
mm-hmm.
except for my family, because I work with my husband and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so grateful that, that in my queener years,
mm-hmm.
what do you call that, that we get to be blessed with who we strive to become, because
mm-hmm.
I just think that God in his graciousness and his mercy and his gift
mm-hmm.
to us that he's brought us together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so grateful for you, Miss Queendom.
Thank you. You know, and really with that, I'm grateful for you as well because it helps when you surround yourself with queens because they remind you of who you are. When you're feeling like a bratty girl, They can uplift you and say, no. Yes, you were probably a bride and girl at that moment, but I know who you really are.
Yes.
Which is a queen. And that helps so much. So really just surrounding yourself. Like I know Tamara and I, we have our group of gals.
Right.
It's four of us. Right. We still don't have a name for our little group here.
Right. That's right.
We're still trying to figure that out.
Right.
But when we're together.
Yes.
It's really just an open space.
Yes.
To just speak our hearts out. And whenever we are feeling down, they're there to uplift you.
Right.
And that's really what all of us need, because at any given point, we can be any of these at any moment.
Right. Right. And what Lupe is speaking of is our group of four girls, right?
Yeah.
So it's Lupe and I and Cheryl and my mom, right? And we'll get together and we just laugh. And there's all generations that are represented. Mm-hmm. Right, so I tend to be in the middle there. Mom and Cheryl are up there. And then Lupe is our younger generation, which is our old soul as well. But there is almost like there is no time or space that doesn't bridge us together in our connection with each other. And one of the beautiful things about coming together is we then, as we fill up with each other, fill up our tanks of love, we get to overflow that with our man. With our kings in our life that we want to be the best for. You know, there's nothing more that we desire more than being a good wife, a good spouse, a good mother, a good friend, a good woman.
Yeah.
A good woman. Mm-hmm. And I think when we have both of those available to us, so that we get to rise up, that we get to say, thank you, God, for everything that you've blessed us with and everything that we get to do and be. And Lupe reminds us when we're bratty, because at any given moment, I'm nasty.
Yes,
at any given moment, Lupe's bratty or I'm bratty or whatever it is. And then we catch ourselves with each other and we course correct into being more of a benevolent queen, I think, because we get to have that valve.
Right.
And I think if you can imagine, all of us are kind of like these volcanoes. Right. So that when we go through certain experiences growing up, you know, whether it's a loss of a pet or parents get a divorce or, you know, girls are mean. Oh, Lord, they can be mean and just, oh, I remember going home from school one day and just having one of my friends just blast me in my ear about who I was and what I was doing, what I was being. I went home and had an asthma attack. Good Lord. I mean, it was just that suppressed sadness inside of my body. But actually, if you can imagine that's lava building up, right? Just lava comes all the way up to our knees. And then when we get into high school and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't win cheerleader. I didn't get the homecoming queen or, you know, whatever it is that you consider to be, you know, milestones in your life, whatever that is, and more lava builds up and, you know, you just have a bad hair day or, you know, something, more lava builds up. And then, good heavens, you get into, you know, deeper things of, oh my gosh, now I'm going to date somebody. It's like, what? You know, and then it's like you're trying to show your best foot forward. And so you look good, right? Everything's about looking good. Boy, you want that on your gravestone? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, she looked good. That would be nasty princess, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get into a relationship and your partner just says one little bitty thing, like, you know, what's wrong with you?
Your shoes don't match.
Don't match. What would you, you know, anything when you have food in your teeth or whatever it is. And it's like, all of a sudden you get the top of your volcano goes, explosion, and you're just getting all your stuff all over on this person. They're like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. All I said was I didn't like your shoes. I didn't like your hair. You got something in your tooth. You know, and so one of the beautiful things about having really good girlfriends is that when you process fully those things that you've been through, right, it's like giving yourself a valve inside of that volcano, you know, lava that's built up. You know, and you can say, hey, I remember when, and I went through this and I felt like that. And you're allowing that lava to just ease out instead of explode out of the top. So that when you do meet that Prince Charming, or you meet your king, or you're married and you're with your spouse, that when you have that valve and you don't have all that lava built up, guess what's available inside of a relationship when you're that benevolent queen? Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh, honey, let's go. We're on our adventure. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to be together. Ooh, even if it's as small as we get to cuddle at night. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, my gosh, let's watch that TV series Luvia was telling me about. And you can curl up on the couch. You can pop popcorn. You're available to say, aren't you adorable? Mm-hmm. Aren't you just the cutest thing since sliced bread? Mm-hmm. I just love who you are.
Right.
Tell me more about you. Tell me how great I am.
And for me, I'm a very visual person, right, because mm-hmm. we have that artistic mind. So the kind of idea that I have, Tamara mentioned lava, right? When we have this anger built up because our bodies are made of water, right? So it's like you have this lava, so you're converting your water into lava until you do explode.
Yes.
Now, if we connect directly with source,
right,
that's like a water stream. It's a waterfall.
Yes.
And you're pouring love into your heart. You're pouring love into your body to where that lava just excludes your body.
Wow.
Right? And we were able to have that love water source.
Mm.
You know, when you have a cup, your cup is filled.
Right.
Right? Now you want to fill your husband's cup. You want to fill your coworker's cup. You can't because you're overflowing with love.
Right.
Right? And you're able to overflow your love to everybody who's around you.
Right.
Right. It's something that Tamara just is a great example of. Mm. You know, today when we were at the ROC, the kids were leaving back saying, oh my God, her energy was so great. Mm. And it's because she's overflowed with love.
Wow.
That she's able to just extend that out saying, hey, I have 5 gallons.
No.
I got more if you guys need more.
You're so sweet.
So she's able to fill everybody's cup.
Mm.
To where everybody feels full when you're in your presence.
Wow.
So it's like, who do you get to be? Do you want to wear your bow and be a girl?
Right.
Do you want to wear your tiara and be a princess?
Right.
Or do you want to throw on your crown?
Right.
And just be able to feed everyone who's around you.
I love that, Luby. Mm-hmm. I'm so reminded when Wayne Dyer talks about, you know, whatever's inside. You know, if you got an orange and you squeeze it, you give it so much pressure, is grapefruit juice going to come out? Grape juice, pomegranate juice? No. Orange juice is going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing with us.
Mm-hmm.
When we get squeezed, when we get pressured, when we're put up against the wall, my prayer is, God, let your love come out.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be that person that is not gone to the ocean of what God could provide for us with a teaspoon.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go with gallons. I want to pour that water on, like what you were talking about, Luby. I want to just say, Father God, let your love consume me, that when I'm squeezed, that's what comes out. That's what comes out. And I love Mark Twain says that forgiveness, right? Because forgiveness is such a big part of being able to continue to love, because grievances are that lava.
Mm-hmm.
Grievances, that when we hold things against people who have done us wrong, justifiably so, we can stay bitter and hateful our whole lives and people wouldn't blame us because of mean things and wrong things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you've got, you know, you've been raped, you've been diagnosed with a whatever, you've been through a divorce, you've been whatever that is. You have every right when something has been betrayed, right? But does it serve?
Mm-hmm.
Does it serve? It doesn't. When you get that, when you put someone else in jail, that when you put them in jail, the jailer and the prisoner, neither one are free.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one. You stay hypervigilant with, are they in the jail? Are they in that jail? You are not free. And that key to being free, to letting that water flow, letting that water come over that lava, is that you hold the key to forgiveness on the inside.
Right.
And when you take that key and you let them free,
you let yourself.
Free. Mm-hmm. We're free.
Mm-hmm.
We're free to love. Because guess what? I don't have to hold all this energy of them being in prison, them being in jail, right? That I'm free to love then.
And focus the energy on yourself.
Yeah.
Because it all starts within us.
Yes.
No one else is responsible for making you happy.
That's
for
it.
For telling you you're amazing.
Right.
we know we're amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Just look in the mirror and just said, hey, you're amazing. And you're telling yourself that.
Right. That's right.
So really, it all starts within us. We have the choice to either be love or be hateful.
That's it. And, you know, Mark Twain says that when forgiveness is like the fragrance that's released from the heel that has crushed the flower. So imagine. So when the flower is crushed by a heel, that fragrance that is released that is so intoxicating, so comforting, so beautiful, that is the forgiveness. That's the forgiveness. And to never wish something to have been different. We don't have to go back and go, oh, if only this, if only that. Because really, when you think about it, what's your favorite dessert?
Oh, I love me some cheesecake.
Cheesecake. So let's think about that, Lupi. What goes into making up some cheesecake? So let's say we've got this batter and we put in eggs, raw eggs. We put in a stick of butter. We put in milk. We put in the cheese, the cream cheese. We put in the whatever it is, whatever one ingredient. Any one ingredient by itself can be very distasteful. Like here, Lupi, go ahead and just take in a couple of raw eggs.
No.
Would you go, yum. Ooh. And here, have a stick of butter. Yeah. Ooh, no. Right. Not very tasty. Here, have a little bit of vanilla. Oh, by itself?
So bitter by itself.
Yeah. Bitter. Oh, how about even a whole bunch of sugar? If you just take on a whole bunch of sugar or, you know, maybe the cream cheese might be a little good.
Yeah.
But
throw some bagels on that. You're fine.
That's it. Throw some bagels on the lox. That's it. But any one ingredient that goes into making up our most delicious dessert can be very distasteful, just like it is for us in life, right? Any one experience can be very distasteful. But yet, when you take all those ingredients of a batter and you, if you were to just put it in the oven without integrating it, without mixing it, it wouldn't turn out very good out of the oven, right? But you just take that bowl of all those ingredients and you integrate it, right? Even some cookie dough can taste pretty good. And you put that batter or you put that cheesecake, you put that in the oven and it starts baking. The aroma. Oh my gosh, that thing cooking, your mouth starts to water. You can hardly wait to put that warm taste inside of your mouth because it's so delicious. Same thing that's true for us in life. When we integrate all of our distasteful experiences, it goes into making up the most delicious dessert, the most delicious us, the most delicious part of who we can be. Now, when you put your fork into that cheesecake, Lupe, and you take that bite, and you put that first bite in your mouth, and it is so delicious. At that moment, would you want to go back in and take out the butter?
Oh, no.
Or take out those eggs.
No, you're grateful for all those ingredients.
That's it. That's it. So as it is with us, as the queens in our lifetime, queens realize that all the ingredients that went into making up their life, no matter how distasteful or how joyous or wonderful, it goes into making up the most delicious queen we could be. And there's only humility because we honor the pain of whatever was so distasteful.
Well, even a cake rises up.
Right.
Right? So whenever you do mix all these ingredients up, you have it go in the oven for about 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it takes, and you see the crust rise.
Right.
Right? So it's like all of us too, we do have all these bad ingredients inside us. It's mixed in. But once it's in there for a little bit of time and you have time to process everything, it rises. But then it makes that beautiful cake, which reminds me of that butter cake that we had for your mom's birthday.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're going back to the Petroleum Club because that was amazing. So, ladies, thank you for allowing us to share with you because this is truly from our hearts with each other and with you that we wanted to share the process of becoming a queen and having a choice, always having a choice. Guys, love what is. Take humility as being part of your crown, your confidence, your compassion, your honesty, and be deliberate in who God has created you to be. Go get them, queens, mm-hmm. because we're going to be out there. And believe me, in the sparkle in our eye, we're going to recognize the sparkle in yours. Mm-hmm. And we're going to wink at each other because we see you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.